dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dreaming Healing. I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, but hey, my friends all call me Kat. So I hope you will too. I'm also known as the Queen of Dreams. And if you're only listening to us right now and you'd like to see us because we are live video podcast, you can go to my website. Just Google Kat, K-A-T, the Queen of Dreams. Okay. It's a lot easier than my long name with a Greek ending on it. Kat, the Queen of Dreams, and you'll see my website. Click on it. And at the top of my website, you'll see these black buttons. The second one from the left will say Dream Vision 7. Click that. And it'll take you a page that will have our guest on there tonight, Britt Elders. And it will have a little YouTube box, watch YouTube live, click on that box and you get to see us. So last week's show was dreams and sleep to restore health and disease reversal. And that was it with a Dr. Joseph Sugar. And he was amazing. He was talking about the importance of sleep and dreams for our health. I mean, we just take sleep and dreams for granted, but it's more than just lying down in a bed. It's a way to heal and keep ourselves mentally and physically healthy. So tonight's show is going to be awesome, guys. It's called UFO Contact from, I've heard it said Pleiades. I've heard it said Pleiades. I've heard it said Pleiades. So I'm going to call it Pleiades, okay? Contact from the Pleiades. And can there be other beings from other planets, galaxies, and even universes out there? Have beings from these other places visited us? Well, scientists, traffic controllers, and doctors, and everyday people say yes. Well, where's the proof? I need to see the proof. Well, tonight, our guest, Britt Elders, will share some of it with us, printed in her absolutely amazing book. And as you can see here, I read the book and I have my favorite parts right there where I can open it up and read them to you, because I got to tell you, they're absolutely amazing. You're going to be going, what? What? But first, we have to do our protection meditation. So those of you who are new to the show, tuning in for the first time, don't worry about it. Just follow my voice and my directions and enjoy, okay? Those of you driving in the car right now, listening to us on the radio, don't close your eyes. Just listen. It'll work, okay? So what I want you to do is sit deeply in your chair and just relax. If you need to, roll your neck. Feel your shoulders getting heavier. We're going to take in three deep breaths. Take in a deep breath. Hold it. Imagine any negativity you ran across this week, caught up in that breath of life, and blow it out right into the purple flame of Saint Germain. See it converted into beautiful golden energy that goes straight up through the universe, up through the clouds, up through the stars, up to those pearly gates, makes a U-turn, comes right back down into our seventh chakra at the speed of thought, that fast, filling our whole body with warm golden light. Feel it goes from your nose to your toes. Again, deep breath in. Hold it. Imagine any negativity you shared this week in that breath of life. Blow it out into the purple flame of Saint Germain, turning into golden light. We're not going to litter. All the way up through all the universes, making that U-turn, coming right back down into your seventh chakra, filling your body with that warm, healing, stabilizing golden light. One more time. A deep breath in. Something from your childhood that's been following you all your life into that breath of life. Blow it out. Gone. It's not a part of you anymore. Up into the universe as golden light. As far as you can imagine, make that U-turn. Have that golden energy enter your seventh chakra, filling your whole body with warm, tingling golden light. Now imagine holding in your hand a power gift, anything of love that is powerful, your favorite rock, your favorite flower, a piece of jewelry a loved one gave you. Close your hand and use that power gift to swing all around your body to create a mirrored bubble of protection. Only that which is of the highest and best, brought by our spirit guides, guardian angels, may enter that mirrored bubble. Everything else is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes. In the meantime, just listen to my voice till you're ready to join us visually. Many of us have heard of Project Blue Book, or maybe we remember the 70s UFO abduction case of Betty and Barney Hill in New Hampshire, or the documented story, Silver Spaceship Alien Saved My Life, in the book Dreams That Can Save Your Life, by Dana Anderson, and the drug interferon given to her by aliens that ended up saving her life when she only had about 4 weeks left to live. But there were few places to report constant sightings. Tonight's show, UFO Contact from the Pleiades, Volumes 1 and 2, takes us back to a time before home computers. Remember that time? Digital photography. And easily accessible photo enhancement programs way back before that time. The evidence analyzed in laboratories around the world could not easily dismiss and support the claims of the contactee named Billy Meyer. The breathtaking images, profound words of the Pleiadians, especially Sam Yasey, and the extensive investigation that spanned 7 years are as relevant today as they were 45 years ago. For the first time, 45 years after their original publication, the two-volume journals of UFO Contact from the Pleiades are combined in one book for a modern audience, with a new foreword written by actress Shirley MacLaine, a prologue written by Mexican ufologist Jamie Mausen, and a new introduction and preface written by Britt Elders. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest and author tonight, Britt Elders. She is an investigative author and documentary filmmaker who traveled the world exploring a variety of topics, including the mysterious world of UFOs. She has participated in several in-depth investigations, including the Billy Meyer case and the waves of UFO sightings in Mexico, which began in 1991 and continue today. Britt Elders is the CEO of ShirleyMacLaine.com, and that's S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, capital M-A-C-L-A-I-N-E.com. You can learn more about her from her website, BrittElders.com, and that's BrittElders.com. If you are watching the show on my Dream Vision 7 Radio Network website page, you see Britt Elders' poster and all the information on that page, all of her website information, her Facebook, her LinkedIn information is all there, and it's hot linked. So all you have to do is click on it and you'll be able to go there and learn more about her. So welcome to the show, Britt Elders. We're so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. I'm really looking forward to this. I've heard so much about you and your work, so I think it'll be fun to explore both sides, yours and mine.
Yeah, so we are going to have a great time. And dreams just come into this so perfectly, because I want to start the show tonight because a little birdie told me you had a precognitive dream about Switzerland before you actually went there. That's so true. Tell us a little bit about that.
For seven nights, I had seven snippets that created this entire dream. The number seven is synchronistic with the Pleiades because they're known as the Seven Sisters. Mm-hmm. So all of this was going, and I see one little thing. Like the first night, it was the farmhouse. I had no idea what it was. We hadn't been there. I hadn't seen any photographs. Then I saw the apple trees on the hill. Didn't know what that meant. Then I saw a rabbit hutch with rabbits. Then it was the little pathway leading to the house. And then it was a building that was away from the house. I never saw any people, but I did see this big black Doberman dog in a doghouse. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. A couple of weeks later, when we arrived in Switzerland, the snippets made sense because it created an entire picture of Billy Meyer's farm. It was really like letting me know, okay, this is exactly what you should be doing. This is the purpose for right now, and just go with it. So I did.
Oh, what an awesome precognitive dream.
Yeah,
and there's so many synchronicities in that dream. It's just amazing. So Britt, what got you involved with this case to even begin with? But, you know, even before you had the dream, what got you involved in this, and what made this Pleiades case so unique? And sometimes I'll say Pleiades. You know, I've heard so many people say different ways. I just, you know, use them all.
Whatever's comfortable for you. It's the Pleiadian star system.
Okay.
And what got us involved was we had a friend who was a retired Air Force colonel, and he reached out to us after he had seen the photographs. And he said, you've got to take a look at these. The reason he came to us is because we had a company called Intercept, which was electronic countermeasure. It was a form of investigation. So he thought it would be ideal for us to get involved in an investigation into a UFO case. The problem was we weren't ready for that because we had quite a reputation. We were dealing with financial institutions and Fortune 500s. And all of a sudden to leave that and go into a UFO case didn't seem like the greatest thing to do business-wise. But after a few months and more conversations, we had a sweep over in London. We decided from there we'd go on into Switzerland and meet with Meyer. My husband was a real skeptic, and he pretty well decided, I'm going to go over and figure out how this guy's doing it in about 24 hours. And so Lee got there, and we were there 5 days and left shaking our heads. From that, it snowballed. We came home with the images, the photographs that you see in the book, the internegatives of those, movie footage, metal samples, audio recordings of the craft. And we had, at that point, talked to and really thoroughly gotten in-depth stories from about 12 witnesses. That began 7 years of investigating this amazing case.
So what was your first impression of Mr. Meyer? What did you think when you
Ooh.
first met him? Was it positive, negative, weird? Woo, what was it?
No, not weird at all. Very normal, very earthy, gentle, curious, definitely curious. A very calm kind of energy. He was surrounded by a lot of different people, different walks of life, pilots, attorneys that had come in to learn more and more about the contacts. And he just was open and willing to talk, and he would sit and spend hours with people going through all the things he had experienced and sharing his little conversations with Samyasa with them, telling them what had happened, showing them pictures. It got to the point that people would show up at his house at 3 o'clock in the morning, banging on the door, wanting to talk to him, demanding to talk to him. And
They were
because it
driven.
was so unusual and unique what was going on. And finally, we talked to him. We said, Billy, please, if these people want to talk to you, they need to work on the farm with you so you can get something done. You can't just keep spending your time doing this. And that eventually did happen, but what a case. I mean, it's so full of physical, hard evidence, stomp on it evidence that you need. It is definitely science fact, not science fiction.
And that's what makes this book so unique. It's got scientific facts in it. It's not just somebody's story that they experienced something and wrote about it. This is scientific in nature, and that's what impressed me so much with it. So when the Pleiadians met with Meyer, how did they communicate with him?
It's interesting because the Pleiadians, first of all, they had the ability to learn a language very quickly, which is great, but they also had a language translator. And we now, 45 years later, have something very similar as an app that we can download on our phone.
I
And
got it.
I can speak whatever language I want to you. I just have to put in my natural language and translate it. And that's how they originally communicated. But a lot of the communications were also telepathic. That's how Billy knew to go to a contact. He would get a cooling sensation across his forehead. He would feel drawn to a specific area, and he would follow that little still voice inside that directed him to the area where he would have a face-to-face contact.
So the first time, and I don't think this was in your book, but it was something that I was curious about. The very first time that Mr. Myers met with Sam Jacy. And Sam Jacy's actually a woman cosmonaut, right? A woman. So what I found interesting about that was the seven sisters, and here we have a woman alien speaking to him. And I've never really heard of a woman alien doing that before. So I was very impressed with that. But when the first contact they had, how did he feel about that? Was he scared out of his mind?
Not
Did
at
he
all.
run away?
Not at all. He was in the kitchen when he had this impulse to go wherever it was they were leading him. And he got on his moped and he went out for the contact. He heard the craft and then he looked up. He saw it. It was hovering and then it slowly settled down and landed on tripod legs. She came from behind the craft, this tall, blonde, sort of translucent skinned being, and they sat and talked. But he was not afraid at all. He felt very comfortable with their presence, and she with him. They had been studying him for a number of years before they initiated that contact in 1975.
How interesting. So we're not talking about we hear about the little green people, the little greens, and then we hear about the grays. And I always thought the little green people, when I was little hearing it, I thought, oh, well, those are the leprechauns. They haven't seen a leprechaun yet. But the grays, but this was tall being that sounds almost like,
Look very
Nordic or
much like
Arctic.
us. Yeah. In UFO jargon, they often call them the Nordic beings because
Oh, really?
they do have that that Scandinavian type appearance.
Interesting. So, this case that you've got here in this book, it makes it sound when we're talking now a lot, oh, it was so easy, this and that happened. It's actually steeped in a lot of controversy, isn't it?
Absolutely. And controversy is a good thing because it makes, as an investigator, it makes you dig deeper and you don't just take the first pass at something and set it aside and say, oh, okay, I got this. No, every time somebody would look at it and have the initial reaction we did, which was, oh my gosh, this is too good to be true. Okay, we can understand your position, but, and then you've got to come in with this. We had all of this evidence, and it was analyzed in very sophisticated, top-notch laboratories of the time. We were at JPL, we were at IBM, we were at Scripps Institute. We were working with scientists that really had specific areas of expertise, and they went after their specific area in whatever form of evidence they were analyzing. So we had audio engineers that were analyzing the audio of the craft. We had photogrammetric engineers that were analyzing the photographs, metallurgists analyzing the metal, as well as other scientists, because the metal was unique. It had a metal, and then it had a crystalline structure in between another piece of metal. So that was very unusual. Plus, it had the rare earth element thulium in it. So when someone says, I don't believe this case, it's fake, I always go to, okay, where did you hear that? And who analyzed the evidence? Because we've had the evidence for all of these years, we've had it analyzed all these different places, and no one has ever come and said, show us everything you've got. That's why it's in the books and in the documentary that's getting ready to come out.
Oh, there's a documentary coming out.
There it is, of the same name, and it should be out shortly. Yes.
How exciting. When that documentary comes out, you've got to come back on and tell us all about that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, our audience will not. So I want to everything that you just said, Britt, is so important. I'm gonna actually go into her book, and this is called Volume One, and it's on page, I don't even think that there's a page number on this yet. It's at the very beginning of the book. And Samyasi says, we too are still far removed from perfection and have to evolve constantly, just like yourselves. This Pleiadian is speaking with the farmer,
Right.
and says, we are neither superior nor subhuman, nor are we missionaries. We feel duty bound to the citizens of Earth. That's interesting, because our forefathers were your forefathers. Just
Right.
think about that for a second, audience. They're saying our forefathers, your and my forefathers, were also their forefathers. That means that there is a connection, and it answers the question that we often ask ourselves, where did we come from? Where did we really originate? And why are these beings visiting our planet? Maybe it's because we're related.
When you look through our history, all of the history all around the world, you find connections with certain star systems, the Pleiades being the primary, but Arcturus, Sirius, Aldebaran, Orion. I think we're definitely linked into all of those planets and more.
Yes. I've got a question that just came in from our audience that I think is interesting. It says Dr. Green, and I don't know who they're talking about. These just come in. Dr. Green has a protocol on reaching aliens via meditation. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think they
As
went
Dr.
into meditation with us today?
I think so. That's Dr. Stephen Greer that does this, and he's been doing it for a number of years. There are several groups around the country that literally go into a meditative state to call in extraterrestrials. And then they will have sometimes really great experiences, and sometimes, obviously, nothing happens. But more often than not, they make some form of communicative contact with them through meditation, which would be through telepathic thought. And they can direct, if an object comes in, they've been able to direct these objects to move to the left or move to the right to verify for themselves that they're actually having these experiences.
Wow. So after 45 years, Britt, do you find the book is still relevant? Because these pictures and everything in here happened 45 years ago, which is really important because they couldn't mess with the pictures back then like we can today. So
That's right.
how is that relevant now?
It's even more important now, partially because the evidence still stands. No one has taken all of the evidence and said, I can duplicate all of this at all, ever. So that stands. It supports the fact that it couldn't have been done 45 years ago, which opens the mind into all new directions. Plus, there's generations now that are more open and receptive to the possibility of extraterrestrial life. I mean, we're talking about having people on Mars before long. So
Yes.
they're open to that, they're receptive, and the messages of the Pleiadians are so important because they're talking about what we have to do as individuals and as a collective society to take our place respectfully in space, where we have to develop as a spiritual being rather than into. Even though we live in a material world and we have material necessities, we have to find our spiritual base in order to move into the realm of all of these other civilizations out there that someday we will meet.
So let me ask you something else, but do you think one of the reasons that we're not visited by more alien species and we haven't been invited by them to go, that I know of, to go and visit their planets is because we're still basically unruly children in the
That's a
development of
good way to put
ourselves?
it. That's a great way to put it. I think that's really true. We've got to connect more to the heart, to the spirit. We have to find that center within ourselves. Many of us can and do so all the time, but there are many out there that don't. And as a civilization of this globe, of the earth, we need to be in a position where we can do that. On a more grand scale than what we're doing now.
You know what? This is so interesting. I just blew through the commercial. I've got
Oh.
the producer right there going, we've got to go to commercial. So we have to go to commercial right now, but don't go away because when we come back, I'm going to talk about Sannyasi's law of attraction. Don't go away.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Cat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat. Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. Available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Did you know that every word you speak matters? What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis. We have an incredible show for you tonight. We have Britt Elders with us, and she's the author of UFO Contact from Pleiades. So, Britt, can you hold your book up for us?
Sure.
So that way we can get a picture of both of us holding this awesome book.
There we go.
Oh, beautiful. Great. So just before the break, we were talking about some JC, who was one of the cosmonauts, and I'm gonna have Britt explain cosmonaut to those of you who are new to all of this. And thank you for hanging in here with us when this is such a very different show. But it's something I think that we all need to be listening to right now. So just before the break, we were talking about some JC and some of the quotes that were in Britt's book. And this one, Britt, this one just really resonated with me. This one and another one. So Semjaisi says, when a being is happy, luck appears everywhere in his life because luck is a self-centered state and comes from within the individual. It is a quality of the inner being and an inseparable spark of the spirit, which contains infinite force in its existence. I have to tell you, when I read that, Britt, all I could think of was law of attraction. You attract what you are. You attract what you think. And this MJC is talking about that in your book.
Yeah. Yes, she is. And it's profound, the things that are in this book. That's just one of the many things that she says that really, they strike home, but they strike in the heart. It's not something that it's a brain teaser or anything like that. It actually hits the heart, hits the spirit, which is the area we really have to concentrate on. We've got the physical life down pretty well. Now we need to work on balancing it with the spirit.
Yes. And it just goes to show that we have a connection with SimJC. We think alike. We think law of attraction.
Right.
Another thing that SimJC said, and this one again resonated with me too. She says, quote, love is the instrument with which one may spread the eternal force that can never be extinguished, which overcomes death and spreads light, which embodies the poise of wisdom, peace, and all that exceeds understanding. So to me, Britt, what this said was love never dies.
That's right. That's right. And it's the thing that propels you forward. It's love here today is such an overused, abused term, because we love everything from our pets, dog food, to, you know, each other. But the feeling of it is where the value is. The spiritual connection to it, really, rather than the, I love having fast food, or I love a salad, or anything like that. And that's where love comes in, making everything whole. And one of the things that Samyasa talks about is how when we love each other, even our enemies, we are improving ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's important to always have that feeling of love, that feeling of compassion and understanding happening, even if we don't really care for the individual.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So in a way, when Samyasa is telling us that we need to love our enemy, which we've heard that in so many religions, but right, it goes further than that. It's telling us we need to be able to hold two opposing thoughts, mm-hmm, in our mind in order to find the commonality and be able to reach out and touch both sides. And when we can do that, we are actually growing, because we are experiencing that which we might find difficult to hold in our brain, but mm-hmm, will propel us forward. So Samyasa was just so brilliant. And I'm just going to do one more. I promise you guys, I'm only going to do one more, but I have to, because this one blew my mind. It blew my mind so much that I actually called up my agent and said, you've got to hear what's in this book. And she said, yeah, I know. So Samyasa says this: matter is the embodiment of an idea. Do you have any idea how profound that is?
Yes.
It's what I've been saying all my life. If you can think it, you can do it. And this chair that's right here beside me started, mm-hmm, off as a fifth dimensional thought. And then we pulled it into the gestalt, brought it down into the third dimension like pieces of a puzzle, and put it together as a chair so we could meet a need we had, which was not to sit on the ground and get ants in our pants. So, you know, the things that are in this book, and I'm not just saying this because you're on my show, are profound.
They're
profound to hear these coming from somebody from another galaxy.
Mm-hmm. And someone that considers people of Earth like their little brothers or sisters.
Yes.
You know, they really kind of want to watch us. They can't interfere yet, but they want to watch us develop and grow and hopefully avoid the issues that they ran into as they were developing and growing to get to, yeah, a point where they could travel through space.
So basically what they said in the book was, at one point we were you. We were just like, yeah, you, where you are.
Exactly.
And so let's talk about some of their concerns, Britt. Because what I was picking up was they have some real concerns about the way we're treating the planet and the way we're treating the creatures on the planet.
And the way we treat each other.
Yes, and the way we treat each other also.
Yes.
So what do you think that we could do, those people listening right now, what can we do to start the process of change one person at a time?
I think you do that through respect. I think by respecting the planet and all that lives here with us, and maybe even taking the American Indian view of the planet is our mother and we need, mm-hmm, to really care for her. Start there and respect her for that. And then respect everything that lives here and respect each other. We might have opposing views. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We need to have opposing views so we can grow. If
exactly.
we don't have that, we just stagnate and nothing, mm-hmm, happens. So let the opposing views in, hear them. You might not agree with them, but you're going to learn something from them. And if you do that with respect, for that other person's viewpoint, you're also respecting yourself. And
Yes.
then it becomes a circle. You just continually grow it.
That's right. Everything we see, every bug we run across. I'm not a big bug lover, but I never just step on a bug because it's there. And I find my heart just kind of skips a beat when I see somebody else do it, because the first thought in my mind is, you didn't create that. You don't have the right to just destroy it. There's a difference. If you're now going to pick it up after you stepped on it and eat it, that's a whole different story. But if you just wasted it because you think it's lesser than you, just think about something. Could you be completely naked and sleep outside on a leaf overnight for the rest of your life and live? They can. So who's more evolved?
That's
they
good.
Should step on us. So have you ever seen a craft?
I have. Not in Switzerland.
Okay,
I've had other experiences in Switzerland at Billy's house, but I have seen craft in Mexico. I have seen craft in Arizona, in California, Nevada. Yeah. So in Mexico, I've got to tell you, we were speaking earlier about people's receptivity to things. And in Mexico, we were at a place called Atlixco. It's outside Mexico City. There's a hill called Casita Blanca. And people were having the greatest time grabbing grandma and grandpa and the kids, a keg of beer, their lawn chairs. They go up on top of this hill and they wait for UFOs to come in. It's
like a show.
It is delightful. I mean, it's so much fun to watch because they're waiting for them. And eventually, usually something shows up, usually a V-shaped craft, a Delta craft, sometimes a disc, sometimes orbs doing loop-de-loops around each other. And the people accept it. They don't question it. There's no fear. They're having a great time watching this go on. So there are other places in the world that are very, very receptive to extraterrestrial life and UFOs.
So what about abductees? The idea, somebody once asked me, if you saw a UFO land in your backyard, would you walk toward it or would you run away from it? But you have to know me. I'm not even afraid of ghosts. So I would walk toward it and probably knock on the door. I'd like to meet them. So what do you think about these abductees? I mean, what's going on if they're not supposed
I
to?
Think you just explained something, that this is a conversation that's been going around for a long time. But people that have a tendency to be curious and walk towards a craft when they see it are actually agreeing to contact, or they wouldn't be walking towards it.
Yeah, I didn't think
so
about
you
it.
Take the abduction part away. I do believe there are abductions. I have talked to many people that claim to have been abducted. But when you start digging through it all, did they walk towards the craft? Were they curious? What was their thought when they saw it? Some were afraid, but most were curious. And so I think they kind of opened the door to that contact when they became curious about the ship.
That's interesting. So you hear so many different things, like they were frightened, they were this, they were that, but you know, some people naturally are frightened of a lot of things. So maybe they were a person that just would not make a great abductee. But, you know, to put it into perspective again for our audience, if you think about it, if you think about animals thinking of us as like the alien beings here on the earth, so we're all here first, how often do we dart them? We come rushing down in our big Jeeps. We dart them. And when they fall down asleep, can't remember anything, we put something over their eyes to keep them calm. And we take blood, we take skin samples, we take hair samples, we take all kinds of stuff to make sure that that herd is healthy and progressing comfortably. And then they go away and they figure, you know what? That zebra will never remember. And yet they do. So maybe,
I've
Same
said
thing
that for a
happened.
long time, though, that what we do here, if they see us doing that here, why wouldn't they do it? It's okay with us. We're doing it to other things. So wouldn't it be okay for us to experience that too?
Yeah, really. If we're walking that walk and talking that talk, they're going to hear it.
That's right.
So that's okay. So again, Brent, we got to go to another we have to go to another break, but when we come back, I have a question that just came in about avatars and aliens living in human donors. So don't go away. We're going to
Okay.
be right back.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat. Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide. Darkest hours to brightest moments. Transformation from despair to happiness. And chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm your host, Kat Canavas, the Queen of Dreams, and we are speaking with Britt Elders today, and we're talking about UFO contact from the Pleiades, and this is her book right here. Britt, before we get started again on some more questions coming in from our audience, they're quite active. How can we find your book?
It will be out April 23rd at your favorite bookseller. You can buy it online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite bookstore.
Great. And for those of you who are going, oh, I don't find that. Again, if you go to my website on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and you can get there from my website if you can't figure out how to get there, and you see Brett's poster there, there's a QR code for the show you're watching right now, so you don't need to click that one. Underneath it is the QR code for her book. And if you click that, use your phone and go with that QR code, and there's actually a link to go there and order it as well. If you go through the QR code or the link, you can get the book, pre-order it now, and you'll have it at home. It's beautiful. It's hard cover.
is. I am very proud of it. It's
It's
200
gorgeous.
pages that boggles people's minds.
It does. I'm just going to open a page really quick. I don't even know what it is. Let me see what it is. Oh my gosh, look at that. It's got the UFO up there in the corner where my finger's moving. Every page is like that and explains what's going on. I read this book cover to cover and I was amazed. And like I read some of the pages to you because they were so special, because we have a connection with the people coming from Pleiades. We actually have a connection with them because we think alike. I can see it in what they're saying, and that's important. I've had other people say, well, do they look like, are there people running around looking like crickets? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know, but these people look like us, so I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah. There are other civilizations that don't look like us, but that's okay because when you look at all of the varieties of people on this planet, there
Yes.
has to be other varieties out there as well.
Absolutely. And if we are here, and basically we share the same grandparents or whatever, excuse me, there's got to be more.
Definitely.
Excuse me. So
Well, the Pleiadians told Billy back in 1975 that there were 108 civilizations visiting Earth.
wow.
So I've asked him since then, are there more? And he wasn't really certain. He didn't know for sure. He hadn't thought to ask. But in 75, they told him 108.
That's a lot. So
It is.
I am getting I'm getting over COVID, and every
Oh.
now and then I'll just have a little coughing. So anyhow, do you believe in avatars? Aliens living in human donors.
Well, I think kind of what they're talking about is more commonly called walk-ins. I've heard about them. I don't know. That's something I have not delved into. So personally, I can't say. I have heard and read about them. I do know people feel very strongly about it one way or another, but I don't have an opinion because I'm not sure.
Good. Wow, that's interesting. Oh, excuse me. So what do you hope to see in the future
Oh
for the
boy.
subject of UFOs?
I hope we get to a space where we can communicate with them and learn from them. And whatever that takes for us as a civilization of Earth, as the cultural groupings of people on Earth, I think we need to move towards that, whether it's developing our innate abilities towards telepathy, towards dreams and visions and dreams and things like you're so well aware of and so schooled in. This is something that helps us grow as individuals. If we grow as individuals, we grow as a collective because all of that information gets shared. Eventually, I hope we can communicate with them and we can learn from them, not to follow them, such as a religion or anything like that, but to learn how to better ourselves and just let that be as it is. I do feel that this younger generation coming in now is very tied in to extraterrestrials, into the same types of thoughts and energies. And I think that they're going to be really changing all of us with their
Yes.
openness and receptiveness.
I agree. So, obviously, believe it or not, we're coming to the end of the show. It happened so fast. We're
It
not alone. We're
did.
not alone at all, but take heart in that statement, because from the information that we shared tonight, we do have off-world beings who care about us and sometimes for us. So the next time you look up into the sky, remember, someone may be looking down at you, there to wave.
Beautiful.
Oh, you never know. So I also had someone send in a dream, and I usually do a dream tip at night. And I had one from another one that came in. So what I'm going to do is read this, and then maybe we can discuss it together because it's kind of connected with the UFOs and the aliens. Says Dream Queen, last night I dreamed I was traveling through space and visited a friend all the way across town. Didn't seem significant. Yet today my friend said she saw me standing in her room last night. She said her cat meowed at me. My question is, can two separate people share the same dream? And could I have possibly astral traveled? So
yes to both.
Yeah, I would too. Mm-hmm. I would too. And it may be, you know, that's what's happening to a degree when people say they went into a spaceship during the night while they were sleeping and they were in the spaceship and they saw these beings talking to them. Or what I started the show with, when Dana Anderson said that she was dreaming that she walked into the backyard and there was a spaceship and they gave her this medicine and boom, she's still alive. So mm-hmm. the answer to this dream is yes, you probably astral traveled. Yes, we can do that. Yes, we are amazing beings. We have so many skills we're only just beginning to tap into.
Very, very true and well put, Kat. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank you for coming on tonight. This has been a wonderful show. I want to just go over the upcoming events that are going to be happening soon. The Read, Write, Relax, and Get Published. It's Spirit at Sea Dreamy Writers Conference Cruise again. And you remember the last one I told you about was down to Baja, Mexico from San Diego, California. It was such a great success that, yeah, we're doing it again. In August 24th through the 31st of 2025, which I know is more than a year away, to Alaska, from and returning to Seattle. And because it's more than a year and a half away, the early bird is under $1,500 per person, with like $350 down to hold your room, which is 100% refundable up to 90 days before we cruise. So come with me, Kat Cannabis, AKA the Queen of Dreams, as host. And I've got three instructors. The sea days are spent in interactive workshops, organizing your writing, your books, your blogs, social media promotions, deciding the right type of publishing for you, and agent proposals while tapping into your dreams. So you can learn more info on my website, KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com, or Google Kat the Queen of Dreams. Reserve your space now because, like I said, they're really filling up. If you've got any questions, you can just call Michelle at 800-658-6869 and ask for Kat's Dreamy Cruise Conference. And hurry, because the early bird gets the worm or the cruise.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. We're going to have a wonderful time. And I would love to have you on that cruise as well, Brett. So until next time, remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. Thank you, audience, for making Dreaming Healing so popular. Thank you to Rachel, our producer, and thank you, Brett, for coming on with us tonight.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you for joining us this evening. And a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Kat O'Keefe Cannabis. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O'KeefeCannabis. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Kat, thank you. That was really wonderful.